Hello and welcome to the Business Brain Podcast.
Brought to you by the Business Brain Program. We're the only podcast in the world to give you genuine business superpowers. We're your hosts. I'm Ollie Thompson.
I'm Omar Ibrahim. Enjoy the show. Ollie.
All right, Honor.
Happy February.
Yep.
Mad, isn't it?
I'm mad. I'm going a bit mad.
Mad as a hatter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's been busy, though, this year.
Oh, it has. I mean, January is, I always tell people, if you want a definition of resilience, just think back to last January.
Yeah.
Because it's tax returns, and then it's VAT straight after tax returns, end of year accounts submission, and it's also the longest time when people have gone without a paycheck.
Yeah, and it's also the is it the darkest or is that December?
I think December's the shortest day, but
yeah.
January and February are generally coldest.
Yeah.
And I think resilience, next to resilience in the dictionary, it should have January.
Yeah, it should, yeah. It's a tough gig, isn't it?
It is a tough gig. It's a tough gig. And emotions in January are all over the place. I speak to everyone I've spoken to, they're kind of, it's really hard to get a smile out of anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Emotions are an intriguing thing.
Yeah.
They are a really fascinating topic to talk about for many reasons. But I think the biggest reason really is they're so diverse and they play a huge part in every decision you make and every relationship you have.
You're right, actually. Never thought about it like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emotions playing a part in my decisions. Imagine.
Well, we like to think we're logical, don't we? Right? Everyone likes to think they're making intelligent decisions.
Yeah, but we're not Dr. Spock.
No, exactly. Right. That's why Dr. Spock's such an interesting character and funny, because it's totally opposing to everyone else. We're just balls of emotion running around riot, really. Because people like to make the right decisions, don't they?
Yeah.
But you can't make the right decision. It's impossible to make the right decision.
Well, right and wrong. It's all based on context, isn't it?
It is. And equally, how you make a decision is based on you anticipating what you want the outcome to be, not factually knowing, right? And then when you get to the outcome, most of them are wrong or to a certain degree out of touch with reality. Because when you get there, there's been more to the story, hasn't there?
Yeah.
So you cut yourself up because you think, oh, that's a terrible decision, you know. But how can you make that? How can you make an accurate decision? You can only make the best decision with the information you have at hand at that moment in time. And that's based on emotions.
Exactly. Well, quick aside, Batman and the Joker.
Yeah. Explain.
You watch Christian Bale's Batman.
Yeah.
The Joker is clearly the villain.
Yes. Well.
But then you watch Jacqueline Phoenix Joker.
Yeah.
And you really connect with the Joker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you think, oh, I like this character. He's more of an anti-hero than a villain.
Sure, that's right.
And now James Gunn just announced that he's moving away the new DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
And for all our listeners, we are comic geeks. Yes, that's
yes.
true.
Yeah, we are,
He's moving away from the good guy, bad guy dynamic.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Which I'm really happy about.
Totally.
But that's exactly it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the filmmakers use emotion to guide us through the story.
Yeah.
And we use emotion to guide ourselves through our own story and make those decisions.
Yeah.
So right or wrong, positive or negative, is based on how we're feeling and what's going on at the time, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, this is one of the issues. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, is if you want to get things done, you've got to have a combination of motivation, discipline and knowledge, right? And people rely too much on motivation because it's emotion and not enough on discipline. Discipline is feeling like you don't want to do something, but doing it anyway. And most people can't. They can't do it because emotions will drive their behaviors. And if you don't regulate your emotions, if you don't understand what's going on in your body as well as your mind and how things make you feel, the triggers, the consequences, then you're going to be in a really tricky patch, right? Because if emotions are managing you, That means that they're managing your choices, which means they're managing your thoughts, which means they're managing your reality. So you've got to be very careful with being subservient to how you feel, because it's not going to take you on a very successful journey.
Mm. Right? You've got a point there, you know, because when you think about it, emotions guiding thought. It's not thought guiding emotions, is it?
No.
What comes first?
Yeah.
You know, the feeling or the thinking.
Well, I don't think anyone quite knows the answer. But when you have an experience, the first thing that will probably happen is an emotional response to what you're sensorily, you know, absorbing.
Well, I would argue that you have an emotion before you have the experience.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you touch something hot, you feel it, don't you?
Yeah, and you have an anticipation.
Yeah.
If you know the pot is hot and you're going to touch it, it's going to burn your finger, you'll be apprehensive.
Mm. Yeah.
So you might feel fear or apprehension or distrust or something that is going to protect you. You want to protect, your initial instinct is to protect yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you touch the pot and you find out, actually, it's quite nice. It's quite warm.
Yeah.
It's not boiling hot and my hands are cold. So actually, this is a nice feeling.
Mm.
Then all of that negative turns to something positive, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does, yeah. And there's a big myth that you can't control your feelings. Well, actually, self-regulated people do that very well. And a superpower, I guess, in modern life is the ability to recognize emotions, recognize where they're coming from and why you feel those based on certain scenarios. And then having the ability to control those emotions and make better emotional choices to create better outcomes for you, right? Because we talk about this all the time, that life is very, very difficult for lots of people. And if you get lost in the emotion that triggers you, then things like, you know, taking action doesn't mean, right, that you're going to get successful outcomes. Lots of people think, I've got to be busy, I've got to get things done. And that's an emotional response. I've got to distract myself and get, you know, do this, do that. At the end of the day, you sit down and go, what have I actually accomplished? And quite often people get so distracted away from pain. But actually what they're doing is not achieving anything.
Yeah, they're just hiding.
Yeah, it's action over achievement, which is no good.
Well, I was reading something interesting the other day. In the US, there's a shortage of ADHD medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you talk about self-regulation, immediately to my mind, I hear self-medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people use medication instead of regulation.
They do.
Instead of learning how to regulate themselves and being intelligent and aware of what's happening to themselves in that situation, they choose medication. Mm. And this is not, you know, anyone who's on medication, who needs medication and has been prescribed it, this is not for them.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the people who are using that as an alternative to doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people who are just not doing the work and not being aware.
Yeah.
And we call it emotional intelligence, emotional quotient, you know, whatever you want to call it. But people are just not aware that they're making decisions when they're in the wrong state.
Mm-hmm.
And if they change their state, they'll see the problem in a different way and they might make a better decision.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, look, when I work with people who suffer emotionally, right, there are common emotions that they talk about, display or articulate, things such as anger, frustration, sadness, anxiety. No one comes to me and goes, God, I feel fantastic every single day. Please help me. Do they? Right?
Well, you know, they don't. If they do, they end up feeling quite neutral, don't they?
Yeah. But this is the thing, right? Everyone talks about the emotions that they don't want, that don't help them. Right? And they're very good at manifesting those.
Yeah.
They're really good at manifesting them. What they haven't realized is the ability to then rationalize and create an alternative emotion that doesn't have to be the opposite, because that becomes bipolar. You know, we're not asking you to go from depression to constant joy and ecstasy, but things like calmness, relaxation, zen, or, you know, joy is fine, happiness, whatever you want to call it, peace, Yeah. Whatever is a resourceful state versus an unresourceful state is equal to find. You can find it in equal measure. Right? The ingredients are the same levels of ingredients. It just might be different things, if that makes sense. The recipe for what you get for sadness is still a recipe for calmness, focus. When someone's ill-disciplined, that's a state that they've created. If they're always distracted, that's a state. But focus is still a state. You can still master that by understanding the strategies that you can put into play, right? Like anything, if you want to get a good result, you have to have a strategy. Now, what happens is with emotions, people that can't regulate emotions don't know how to strategize emotions, and therefore they control them. Whereas if you learn the power of controlling emotions through strategy, then you can be really in control of the DJ box, you know, the treble, the bass, the volume, all that sort of stuff, the qualities and quantities of what you put into everyday life.
So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about what you mean by the strategy? Because you and I talk about it all the time and we get it, but I'm just conscious that sometimes people might want to understand what do you mean by strategy?
Yeah. It's actually more simple than you think. So I think in the last few podcasts, we've mentioned patterns before. It's very similar. You know, you will have friends, family members, even yourself, and you'll have a pattern of behavior. You know, when you come home from work and you see your kids looking out the window, that triggers something and you feel love, right? You feel connection and you walk through the door and you can smell the dinner and you can do all this sort of stuff. And it's all fantastic, right? You go for the Sunday morning walk and you see, your friends or your colleagues and you catch up with them and you take the dog and it's just freedom or whatever it's going to be, right? And you know and anticipate that when that happens, you're going to feel a certain way, which is why you do those things, okay?
Yeah, true.
They're natural things that will happen. The most difficult things, the most difficult strategies to find are things like, you know, changing your job because you're comfortable where you are, but you're unhappy. Losing weight because you don't look your best, but you have to go for a run or go to the gym, right? Having a difficult conversation with a partner or a colleague because you like them, but they've got some weird behaviors and they trigger your nasty side. Those are the things we don't want to do. So we have to strategize how we get what we want from those things. Okay. That's what we have to do. Whereas the other ones are patterns that are being created for us almost just naturally.
Sure. I mean, do you think some people would think that's a little bit selfish? You're trying to plan what you want to get out of engagements and relationships and situations.
Yeah, and that's because they don't know how to regulate their emotions. Right?
Okay, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, because people who look at, a subject matter like that, and I'm just talking about how to explore making relationships better or having more bravery, or overcoming an obstacle, if they look at what I'm talking about as being selfish, then they've got to question what's triggered their ability to see things as selfish in that nature, because they've obviously felt something that was misplaced in that conversation.
Yeah.
Right?
And actually, the truth is that there are very few selfless acts in the world.
I can't name one.
I can only ever name one, which is a mother feeding her baby. That's the only one that I can actually think of.
Yeah, but the mother still gains something from having a baby and making and nurturing that baby. It's called love.
True.
Isn't it? You're connected to your kids because you love them. Every single human being on this planet, the first thing they actually want is human connection and love.
Love is all you need.
Love is, well, there you go. But going back to these strategies, I mean, if you think about it, I'll just give you some hints and tips, really, for anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Let's say you have to have that difficult conversation with somebody at work, right? And you really like them, but they're being a pain in the ass. And you can see it and you're going, oh, my God. What? Not just with you, but with other people, right? They're always getting triggered. They're always blowing up at the wrong and inappropriate times. And you can see them self-sabotaging their careers almost, you know. Well, what's going on there? Well, you might think, oh, my God, I really don't want to be around them, but I really care about them. And I'm really concerned if I had a conversation with them, they would resent me and never speak to me again because they're in a really funny headspace. So straight away, this feeling of anxiety city creeps into you, right? And you can picture it in your head. You can see it in your head, right? You can see what we tend to do is when we're telling a story in our head, we paint the picture. So we see a lot, 70% of how we think is visual. So we will see the event playing out like a movie and going wrong because we anticipated going wrong because of the toxic behaviors. I hate that word toxic, but you get the one I'm talking about. We play through the worst case scenario in our head and then we hear it and then we feel it at the same time. Okay, so I'm playing this story in my head and I'm thinking, oh my God, do I really want to be bothered having this conversation? It's not going to benefit me that much, but I really want to help him. But I feel really anxious about having this conversation because I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. But I can have a guess and my guess is in my head. And I'm going, oh my God, I don't want to do that. But a strategy then for me would be going, well, actually, what am I trying to achieve here? So don't look at the problem, paint what you're trying to achieve. So change, flip the image. So that what you do is you paint it in a resourceful way, not an unresourceful way. That's not positive versus negative. We're not talking about that. We're talking resourceful versus unresourceful.
Yeah, and I mean, just to simplify that a little bit more, it's also what do you both, it's the perceptual positions, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is what do you both want to get out of a situation and what do all parties want to get out of that relationship or that situation or that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
If you're at work, you want to have a nice environment. You want the day to pass. You want to enjoy what you're doing and feel valuable. You also want to solve the problem and receive some level of reward, you know, job well done. So what is it that people actually want to get out of that situation? And how do you help other people work towards that?
Well, the thing about that, Honor, is you'd like to think that everyone wants a nice day at work. If that's the case, why do you meet so many people that are quite obstructive, obstinate, greedy, power-driven, controlling, rude? Why do you meet quite? Because I do.
I just think their frames are wrong, personally. My personal view is that they have found enjoyment in their job in a different way,
mm-hmm.
and that they've just programmed themselves incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they're the easiest ones to change,
mm-hmm.
because they're looking for that endorphin fix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier to get the endorphin fixed from nice things than nasty things.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can take that. I mean, the perceptual positions thing is interesting because, yeah, I'm just creating one option in my head, which is the unresourceful option, which might be position one. And then position two is the resourceful option. And the reason I say resourceful versus unresourceful, not positive, negative, is your brain doesn't know the difference between positive and negative. So you shouldn't put a label on it. Is it helping or not is the key. So if the second vision that you have in your head is better than the first, then that's great. But then position three is, do they actually want the help and are they open to it even if they don't notice it? That's the point.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
But that's where we come in.
Mm-hmm.
Or their coach, or their manager, or their colleague who wants to change that person being really negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person at work who's being really annoying and could be seen as unhelpful.
Yeah.
And this is where the person who can see that,
mm-hmm.
typically comes in and just gives them a reset.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Recalibration.
Recalibration. Recalibration is one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But they don't know they're doing it half the time.
No, that's right. Yeah. But this is the point now, right, when it comes to strategies, is you might want to go and help that person. So you go, right, tomorrow I'm going to have that conversation. Isn't it funny, though, how you never have that conversation, right? Because you avoid it because it's awkward, difficult. So the strategies I'm talking about is actually regulating your emotions so you can do the things that you want to do regardless of how it makes you feel.
I've got it. Really simple story.
Yeah.
You know, unregulated emotion. You walk into the office,
mm-hmm.
and there's no tea bags left.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, first thing in the morning, I want a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't people fill up the tea bags? Just all you got to do is just take them up, you know, fill up the teapot. And second, that then sets you up for a negative, unresourceful morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until something flips you. The other way of looking at it is, oh, there's no tea bags left. Brilliant. I get to have a fresh bag.
Yeah.
You know, fresh out of the box. It's going to be a lovely cuppa. It's going to be better than the old ones. I didn't want yesterday's bags.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the way you frame it. Mm-hmm. One way takes you down a negative path, negative emotions, mm-hmm. unresourceful. The other way gives you a very positive path as you see the good in it. And you actually see it as a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Gives yes. you more choices.
Yeah. So if you've got, exactly. So you're going to have this conversation, right? You've got to then have a starting point. Cool. And that is then, right, okay, how do I currently feel about having this conversation? You might say the word stressed. Okay. And then you say, right, so what's this? What's your strategy of stress? So talk about a time when you felt stressed. See what you see. So paint the picture in your head and yeah. notice everything. You know, is it color, that image, or is it black and white? Is that image moving or still like a photograph? Is it near or far? What do you notice that's making you really stressed about that image? And then what do you hear when you're looking at that image that's making you stressed? You know, certain voice intonations, internal dialogue, volume, is it music? You know, all that sort of stuff. And then when you see what you see, hear what you hear, and then you feel what you feel, that stressed feeling, you know, where is it in your body? Give it a color, give it a shape, give it a weight, a temperature, give it a movement, and have fun with it, explore it, right?
Yeah.
And then what you do is you acknowledge that, and then you say, well, what would you like to feel in order for you to have this conversation, right? And you might say, tranquil. Okay, fine. Do the same thing again. Be tranquil. Think about a time when you've been tranquil. Imagine being tranquil. What do you see, hear, and feel? Do the same thing. And I guarantee the image, the sound, and especially the feeling of tranquil versus stress will be different. So stress might be red and spiky and heavy, whereas tranquil might be light-colored, ethereal, right? Outside your body, floaty, all that sort of stuff. I don't know. It's entirely unique for the individual. But what you need to do then is focus on the second emotional state. So when you feel stressed, you need to be able to recalibrate the details, also known as submodalities, the submodes. Recalibrate them so they work effectively and make you more resourceful to be more tranquil before you go and have that conversation. So you feel empowered and uplifted in your own ability to enable yourself to have that conversation. And then when you've got that feeling of tranquility, replay you having that conversation with that ability and then go and replay it in real life. And that's a strategy.
I think we should talk about that a bit more next time.
Yeah, we can do that. Absolutely.
Because we are about to go down that rabbit hole. once you mention submodalities.
Yeah, it's a big old topic, isn't it?
It's a big old topic. And you know, I hope people realize we've given them quite a lot of NLP today.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we don't usually do. But if you want to learn more, subscribe to our app. Completely free, app.thebusinessbrain.co.uk. Sign up for a free account or sign up for a paid account if you want the assisted coaching. And in the resource library, you will find lots of videos going into detail on all of these strategies.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Good stuff.
Brilliant.
Cheers on it. Well, I'll see you next time on the next episode of the Business Brain Podcast.
Yes. Cue outro music.
See you next time.